Number four on the agenda is SDSU Natural Resource Management. John, are you with us today? Great, welcome. You can come right up here if you want. I don't know unless you prefer to stand. You want to just, John, if you just introduce yourself.
Sure.
And for the record, that'd be great. Welcome.
Well, thank you. My name is John Killifer. I'm the Dean of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences. And I just wanted to provide you a little bit of an update on what is happening here in the college and be able to answer any questions that you might have. And I don't know, is Dr. Dudash going to be, is she on your agenda at all? Okay. All right. Okay, so we have some folks from the NRM that will be able to give some more inside baseball information in regards to some of the new activities that are going on within the department. But I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on some of the things that are happening at within the college. And for many of you, if you have not had a chance, I would invite you to our new Raven Precision Agriculture Center. It is a state-of-the-art facility, one of its kind in the world, and it is on the north, I guess, northwest corner of campus. You can't miss that facility. It is where we house our precision agriculture program, and that is a combination of our, in particular, our agronomy program, and our ag biosystems engineering and being able to apply a lot of the technologies associated with precision agriculture to crop production. That is happening in that facility. It's about 123,000 square foot facility that we're very excited about. We opened it up the September 11th. We had the ribbon cutting for that facility. And within that facility, we really launched our had a facility where we could house our new precision agriculture major. It was first in the nation, so our first four-year program in the nation is here at SDSU. We have this new facility. We have gone well beyond precision agriculture associated with cropping systems. We apply those same technologies to natural resources conservation, and so we're very excited about that, being able to use the same types of technologies and data and apply that to natural resources conservation. And we have extended it again further into the animal production system. And so we have some very exceptional facilities here on campus associated with livestock production systems. So lots of data coming out of those that tie into our precision agriculture efforts. And we launched the nation's first precision ranching program out at our Cottonwood Research Center in Phillip, just outside of Phillip. And so that at that site, we are applying a lot of the precision technologies to be able to manage those range environments. And so instead of having physical fences, we're working with a company called Fence. It's virtual fencing, and that's a West Coast company. And so these trying to manage movement of animals without any physical fences and being able to manage the grazing level. So we don't want to overgraze nor undergraze, and we want to be able to manage those land resources as well as we can. So we're developing a lot of those new technologies at that facility. We have a bioproducts center that is we just broke ground for maybe 2 weeks ago at our research park, and that is where we are going to be able to utilize a lot of the commodity products that we produce on the eastern part of the state, as well as in collaboration with the School of Mines, working with woody biomass in the western part of the state, and trying to develop value-added products here and capture that value and retain that in the state of South Dakota and the region. So we broke ground on that it's going to be about a $30 million facility a couple weeks ago, and so that should be opening up in, I believe, in 24. We also, not too long ago, had the pleasure of being recognized as hosting the North American Center of Excellence for Bison Studies. And so that is housed here at SDSU. And we are doing that in collaboration with the National Bison Association, the National Buffalo Foundation, and we worked with the Turner Ranches. And so they have now developed that they had approval for the now only the third one in the nation, an ARO, an Ag Research Organization, where they have to partner with a university. We are that university, and so now there's the Turner Institute of Eco-Agriculture. And so we are working with them. The McGinley Ranch that's in northwest Nebraska and in South Dakota, that is the first of the Turner Ranches that is part of this operation. And so we're looking at the management of not only the bison, but the entire ecosystem that those bison live on. So we're very excited about that that effort. And we have the Board of Regents here on campus. They arrived yesterday and they're here for the next couple days. And some of the conversation that we are working with are related to the legislative asks that are going to be going forward. And there are three of them that are linked to SDSU. And one of them is a very broad one, and it is tied to all this massive data that's being generated through the science type of efforts today. And so that is an effort to enhance the high-capacity computing capacity here on campus so that we can tie into the pipeline, the data pipeline that runs from north-south from Fargo down to Kansas City. We're on that pipeline, and then it ties in and goes east-west from there. And so we have that request going through the Board of Regents right now. And then another one is in ag cybersecurity. And so that probably ties in with the natural resources as well, because it's been recognized by Homeland Security that ag data, the massive amounts of data that are associated with our ag lands and our natural resources, the security of that data is now recognized as a national security concern. And we are partnering with Dakota State University, which is one of, I believe, five Homeland Security recognized facilities in the country. And they have expertise in cybersecurity, and we have expertise in ag and associated types of data. And so we are partnering to stand up an ag cybersecurity hub here in South Dakota. And then we also then have our third one is an ask through our extension program associated with the our response to the impact on the meat industry during the pandemic. A lot of the meat industry had to shut down, and that caused a lot of problems for our producers. And so we're trying to enhance the local meat lockers. And so I know a lot of wild game and all of that go through these facilities. And so there's a granting program that through our state that helped enhance the facilities at these local lockers, but we also are requesting funding to help support a training program. And so a lot of these lockers, if they have to come to campus, for example, to do some of these required trainings, they have to shut down for that period of time. And what we are trying to do is utilize technology to be able to take the training to them. And so we can have our experts here on campus and sending that technology out to those local lockers, they can then participate in the training process, be on site, not have to shut down, and we can communicate live with them and do that training at their own facility with the person here in Brookings. So those are the three official asks that are working their way through the Board of Regents system. And then we have two others that, and I'll just mention one of those that will probably be related to this group would be our Cottonwood Research Center and that precision ranching, and we are there will likely be a bill coming through that will have an ask to enhance that facility. It's one of the, I believe it is, the oldest research facility in the nation, so a research site in the nation. And so we have tremendous historic data on the land and the impact of different management practices on the land. And so being able to now couple that with modern technology, precision ranching and precision technology, we want to take that into the next century. So that is, those are going to be, you know, some of the asks that are coming through that are related to SDSU. And I'm happy to answer any questions, and I know that you'll have some more NRM specific inputs, because we've had a number of recent hires, and we're very excited about those being able to have our ability to support our natural resources management programs throughout the state. If there are any questions, I'm happy to address those at this point.
Do you have any questions for John?
Thank you for being here. When you talk about local law, the lockers, and going to the legislature with an ask, and I know you have to make that process first, do we know what communities the lockers might be able to take part in this yet?
So, if I may answer or address that, my understanding is that any locker would be able to participate in this process. So we want to be able to support all the lockers, the operations that are located throughout our state. So, you know, we're not restricting it to any particular locale or region within the state. And with this technology, we can take it anywhere.
Other questions for Jen? I had a couple of tell me what if you pick your favorite and most exciting project that you're working on right now that will have an impact on South Dakota in the next 3 to 5 years, what is it?
Okay. So probably the most exciting project is linked to our precision agriculture, and it's our Institute of Ag Data Refining that we are standing up linked to precision agriculture. And really what this is doing is recognizing that we have massive amounts of data, and there's really, I don't know if any of you farm or know folks that farm. Okay, you probably have massive amounts of data that come off your combine or your tractor. Okay, and a lot of that data you may not really get the most value out of it, or you may not even know that data is even there and how you can benefit from that. And so what we are doing is trying to bring experts in data management, data analytics, and artificial intelligence, machine learning, bringing that expertise together on campus to work with our biological scientists. So they went into the biological sciences probably because they're not that excited or interested in working with crunching just straight numbers as a data analyst might be. And what we want to do is bring them together so that the biological scientists know the type of data, the physiology of the plants or the soil or water movement, et cetera. Be able to take that type of expertise, that knowledge, and be able to work with our data analytics group, this information analytics group, and say, this is what I want to be able to glean from the data. How can I do that? And they can start working with writing the algorithms, developing the machine learning, artificial intelligence aspects to that, so that we can now make that, refine that data into something that's usable and manageable, be informative to the end user, so that ideally we can get it down to something you might have on your smartphone. So you can have an app that can now give you some information based on all this data that might be linked to your particular home operation, or it might be associated with the natural environment that that you are managing, being able to make best management decisions based on data, and being able to utilize all the data that's being generated. And so, what was probably going to be the most exciting and most impactful, data is really just data. where does it come from and how you use it is going to be the most impactful. So, you know, being able to set up this type of a system to manage and refine that data is going to allow us to use data coming from all kinds of areas. So whether it's row crop production, whether it's natural resources management, whether it's livestock operation, et cetera, we can bring all that together and we can start layering it. So now we have data that's coming from different areas and we can start coupling that together. And we had, as part of our opening of the Raven Precision Agriculture Center, we had a special day set aside for a research event. And so we invited a lot of research specialists from a number of different companies and individuals that represented different sectors out there. And we hosted them for a whole day and had a lot of discussion. And what we are finding now is that many of those folks are discovering South Dakota State University. They didn't know we had these resources here in South Dakota and in particular university. And there have been follow-up meetings already and some of these companies are coming from the Twin Cities, for example. They are coming here and they're wanting to partner with us. They really like what we're doing because a lot of what we do is very applied, or there are applications that can result from the efforts that we're doing. And so there are conversations of how can they partner with us, and in some cases they're talking about how, you know, should we be thinking about moving to Brookings or to South Dakota so that we can become more engaged in this, because they're maybe not finding that same kind of potential collaboration or engagement at other places, and so they're very excited about what they're seeing here in South Dakota.
That Cottonwood Research Facility you talked about down by Phillip, how many acres are down there, and then does the state own those, or do you lease that?
No, we own those. We also lease some additional land, you know, for some of our grazing, but right now I think it's around 2,000 plus or minus acres there.
Thanks for your time today.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
I think we've got number 13. Jennifer, are you going to? Yeah, come on up, Jennifer. We have Jennifer Chu here from SDSU's Conservation Planning and Park Management, and she's going to give us an update on that. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you. I am happy to be here. So my name is Jennifer Zavaleta-Cheek, and I am a new assistant professor in the Natural Resources Management Department, and indeed, I have the pleasure of leading the Conservation Planning and Park Management Program, and I was asked to introduce myself, give a very brief history of the CPPM program, and then outline some new directions that we hope to go in conjunction with the goals of GFP. So, It's great to be here. I'm originally from Texas, graduated from the University of Michigan, and have gotten to live all over the world, including India and Chile and most recently Illinois. But I have really come to love South Dakota. It hasn't been too cold yet, so I have lots of hope still. Most of my past...
I'll talk to you tomorrow about that.
Okay, yeah, we'll see. I'll talk to you guys in the future and give you updates. No, a lot of my past research has been about sustainable development and has really looked at the human dimensions of management, mostly in wildlife spaces. I have had some opportunity to do some conservation planning, but parks is something that's new to me, which hopefully you all will see as an opportunity and not necessarily a weakness. But I do think from whom I've already met and talking with people about the programs and what classes we're going to incorporate into classes, there seems to be a ton of excitement about collaboration, so I'm really excited. But before I tell you where we're headed, it's kind of important to know a little bit of our history. As I've learned from other people, or some of you have probably graduated from the program at SDSU, we originally offered a BS in park management in the Department of Horticulture, Forestry, Landscape, and Parks. That was back when we had the College of Agriculture and Biosciences, so that's kind of from the 80s to 2010. And at around that time, the degree changed, and it was offered as a bachelor's in sports, recreation, and park management. And at that time, it was hosted in the Department of Health and Nutritional Science in the College of Education and Health Science. So there was a heavier focus on recreation then, and we've now, since 2015, have been offering a bachelor's in conservation planning and park management in the Natural Resource Management Department, which is now housed in the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Science. So all of this is to say, it's clearly there's so much value in this degree, and there's so much interdisciplinarity that it kind of can fit in a number of different places, but I think it's finally found its true home in natural resource management, since we have so many students that are trying to understand ecosystems, but also social systems, having exposure to those classes so that they're well positioned to manage effectively when they become park managers. So in addition to getting natural resource classes, of course, there's quite a few recreational and leadership classes, also some business administration classes. And I know that Game, Fish, and Parks has been very active in determining what sorts of courses are required of students in order to meet the professional demands of being a park manager. So that's just a brief history. I could answer questions on that later, but we might have to turn that over to someone else, because that is all I know of the history of CPCM, having just started 2 weeks ago. But I do have two fantastic students that are going to be joining me doing research. So I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge, this is Bridget Henney and Eric Schwartz. You'll hopefully be seeing them again. As you all probably well know, the Parks Department has been giving professors at SDSU approximately $15,000 a year to do a project that's of mutual interest. We have two more years ahead of us, and I'll get to help design those projects. Just to mention that some of the past projects have been on surveys to the public, wondering how they use parks, what they get out of parks, and why they continue to go there. There's also been an assessment of outdoor recreation and how it's been promoted in the state. And there's also most recently been an assessment looking at different park diversity or diversity within the park, as well as diversity of recreational activities. So we have done some of this research in the past, and I'm trying to build on that to come up with something that's really beneficial to you all. So some of the project ideas, which are of course still in conversation, involve most immediately doing a survey of the skills that you all think are most needed to be an effective park manager or conservation planner. And we want to make sure that whatever you guys are coming up with, or you all are coming up with as important, is being taught in the classroom. We want to make sure that we are training people to meet the job requirements and to excel in leadership. Some other ideas that we've potentially talked about is doing a horizon scanning exercise to determine what are the biggest problems that you all are facing in your roles as park managers, and also doing a survey or a card sorting exercise where we identify management priorities. As a researcher, I've always been very problem-oriented, so I want to make sure that whatever I choose to investigate is useful for you all, especially as we start to train the next generation of park managers. So it's with that I also wanted to mention a few ways that we've been incorporating park managers in our classroom. Two courses that I'll be teaching next semester are park interpretation and introduction to conservation planning. And I have been in cahoots with a number of managers that have fantastic ideas for real-world experiences that we could give students, not only of tours of different facilities or serving on career panels or serving as guest speakers or hosting us during field trips. But one project that I think is particularly exciting is we identified a need that Stichy Hollow needs signage. There's not a lot of signs there. There's money allocated to make signs. So one of the big class projects that we'll be working on is having smaller groups work on signage. Of course, we're going to be incorporating that with other course material or things that they're going to need to learn to be effective interpreters. But it's one example of how we're trying to bring the two together, address your needs, but also equip our students with the experiences that they need to excel in the field. Of course, I'm open if you all have more ideas for guest speakers or what other research ideas you need. I know that I'm excited to do it, as are Eric and Bridget. So I hope to be in touch soon and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Jennifer? Secretary.
Not so much a question, Jennifer, but I just wanted to thank both Dean Killifer and yourself for coming here in front of the commission today. I'm very excited to hear some of the updates from SDSU as a SDSU alum myself. So thank you for coming, and I just wanted to make sure I said that before you took off. So
thank you. And thanks for taking time out of your day to come here, too.
Go Jacks indeed. All right. Well, this will not be the last time that we're meeting, and I look forward to working with you all in the future. Thank you.
Take care.